For the regular business meeting of the Bainbridge Island City Council. Present tonight are Councilmember Tollefson, Blossom, Roth, Townsend, and Bonkowski. Councilmembers Blair and Ward are excused absences. Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Acceptance or modification of the agenda. If we can do it by consensus, I'd like to move item 7C from the consent agenda and make it item 6D. I have a slight change to propose to the minutes when we get to that. Is that acceptable? Is there a motion to accept the agenda with that modification?
So moved.
Second? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passed. Any conflict of interest to disclose tonight?
Yeah, I do have a potential conflict. And this company, Milliman Inc., is a company that is a witness in a lawsuit that I'm involved in my day job. So I think I'll refrain from the vote as to whether to appoint Milliman as a contractor.
Refrain from discussion and voting?
Yeah.
Anything else? Is there any public comment tonight? Move on to the city manager's report then.
Okay, this is the city manager's report that went out last Friday. We had information on good news, Bainbridge Island being named the number 7 safest community out of the top 50 in Washington. This was a group called SafeWise that did this analysis using FBI crime data from the 2012 population and other ranking factors. And with that, if you visited our city website recently, you'll see that we've got a little emblem there that shows we're in the top 50 safest cities in Washington, according to SafeWise. We also completed the final session of staff training on the HPO training. So as of last week, we had completed training of all staff. Today at lunch, we had a brown bag discussion about next steps with staff and started developing different work teams to provide leadership in different areas and to help move us more into some of the HPO philosophies. So we're continuing to move forward and talking about how we're going to communicate what we're doing and the successes that come out of that to the community and to the council as we move forward. We also had tips for homeowners with residential heating oil tanks. That was kind of timely information, but we did miss at least one homeowner that lost quite a bit of heating oil and into a ditch that cost quite a bit of time and energy to do the mitigation and recovery of that. And then announcement of the police department accepting applications for the 2014 Citizens Academy, which runs from February 25th through April 29th. That information is available online. And then the also an announcement about the police department forming a youth advisory group and the process for expressing interest in serving in that advisory group, as well as information about the police department's annual awards gala. So those are the items that were in the city manager's report this last week.
Any questions for the city manager? Moving on to item 5 on the agenda tonight, public hearings. Item A, ordinance number 2014-09, Town and Country Markets, Inc., right-of-way vacation, agenda bill 14-017. Mr. Lovelace.
Good evening, Council. This is the small piece of right-of-way associated with the Town and Country remodel. It's a 20 by approximately 107-foot strip of dead-end alleyway completely surrounded by the Town and Country properties. And this vacation has been reviewed by all the utilities and other agencies that might have an interest. And there's no objection to proceeding with the vacation. It's up to the property owner to get an appraisal done and to compensate the city for the fair market value of that appraisal, of that appraised value. That hasn't been done yet, so we're asking that the council consider moving the ordinance for the vacation to a future consent agenda pending receipt of the compensation.
Any questions for Mr. Lovelace? Mr. Bonkowski?
I move the city council approve ordinance.
We have to have a public hearing.
Sorry.
So if there are no questions for Mr. Lovelace, I'll open the public hearing on ordinance number 2014-09. Is there any public comment on this proposed ordinance? Hearing none, I'll close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Thank you. I move the city council approve ordinance number 2014-09 relating to the Town and Country Markets right-of-way vacation pending receipt of a certified appraisal per BIMC 12.34.140 and full market value of area to be vacated pursuant to BIMC 12.34.130 at a future city council consent agenda.
I'll second.
It's moved and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The ordinance passes. Item B, Kitsap County Multi-Hazard Mitigation Plan, Agenda Bill 14-016. Mr. Schultz.
Okay, this is an item that was discussed at the study session last week. The hazard mitigation plan is required by FEMA in order for the city to receive emergency funds or disaster relief funds in the event of a disaster. Basically, what it does is identifies the potential hazards that the community faces, identifies the assets, the public assets that could potentially be damaged or lost from a disaster, and helps place a value on those, as well as any improvements or repairs that might be needed to those to help prevent damage. The way this plan is set up in Kitsap County is that the county Department of Emergency Management has taken the leadership. They've updated the plan or revised the plan essentially to change the demographic data as a result of the 2010 census.
Any questions for the city manager, Mr. Pankowski?
You used the term that it only includes city assets. And the reason I'm asking is when I went through and looked at transportation, communication, utilities, we don't talk at all about water assets other than the city water assets. And I would have thought that since here the definition of city to me is the perimeter of the island, not necessarily a city asset. And so I have a question about whether that should be included or not. Because I know we have the data because we do a water plan for the entire island.
Yeah, I'd have to check with okay. Mr. Gordon at DEM to see if that should be included. I know from other communities I've worked in, typically if there's another district involved or a private purveyor, that is not included in the okay. mitigation plan.
Okay. And I had one other question, and that was when we talked about the mitigation strategy, there's a bunch of numbers in there and timelines. And what it's on started on page 30 of our packet. The which ones are we committed to execute? I mean, when I go through here and I see, you know, something like implementation costs $250,000 a year for to improve control of runoff and flooding, item BI-1. Is that something that needs to be in our plan, or is this visionary, or, you know, how do we handle that? Because if you add up all the numbers, it comes out to, you know, a substantial number.
Right.
So I'm trying to understand how that works.
So these those items were actually part of the development of the original plan. I think that was in the
7 years ago or something.
Yeah, about yeah. 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So that all came out of that original plan. And the reason why we want to have those items in here is if there are Homeland Security grants available that might mm-hmm. help pay for those, this is kind of like the TIP or CIP. By having it listed in your long-range plans, it helps the city qualify for grant funds if those become available. The commitment otherwise is typically as funds are available and how the council would prioritize use of those funds. So there's no commitment other
well,
than that.
Well, then if you could review that, because a couple of them do talk about implementation timeline when funds are available, and some of them say ongoing, some of them say 2014-2015, and some say 1 to 6 years. So there's a mixed, and I just want to make sure that if somebody comes back and looks at this, that is consistent with what our firm plans are and our CIP with respect to implementing a lot of this stuff. So if you could just review that, it would be helpful.
Any other questions or comments? I'll then open the public hearing on the question of the Kitsap County Multi-Hazard Mitigation Plan and ask if there's any public comment. Hearing none, I'll close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
I'll move the City Council approve the Kitsap County Multi-Hazard Mitigation Plan update.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Discussion?
Yeah, I'd like to offer a friendly amendment that it's after a review of the water and the funding that I talked about in here. I mean, I want to make
sure. What is after? What do you mean after?
If approved subject to.
Subject to.
Okay.
Thank you. Subject to
the
review of, as discussed with the city manager.
minutes.
Any objection?
No objection for me.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's approved, subject to that further work. unfinished business. Item 6A, consider the 2014 Lodging Tax Advisory Committee Award Recommendations, Agenda Bill 14-020.
Since I was on the lead on this, we had in 2013 a process where we looked at, I believe, I think it was 15 different proposals amounting to $275,000. We had a budget of about $125,000, and we took a committee of four people and evaluated those and rank ordered them and then made an adjustment that we thought was appropriate depending upon that particular organization. And we then provided that recommendation to council back in the December timeframe. By law, that had to mature by 45 days before council could take an action. And so we're now to the place that we need to take an action. And it's my understanding that we can either approve it or we can disapprove the whole thing. But I don't think we can do a line item change.
Any discussion? This is probably just a convenient place to make two comments. One, I had some feedback from a community member requesting that the committee this next year look into the possibility of expediting the process so that these awards could be made at the end of the year or the very beginning of next year to facilitate the budget process of the recipients. And we had some public comment written public comment within the last couple of days suggesting that we consider establishing an administrative fee to cover the city overhead in administering this program, and I suggest the committee discuss that with the city manager and possibly bring a proposal to council later in the year. So is there a motion to approve this distribution?
I move that the City Council approve distribution of $127,633 in 2014 Civic Improvement Funds as detailed in the 2014 funding recommendation from the LTAC and waive the requirement that 50% of the funds go to capital expenditures.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The distribution is approved. Item B, contract for citywide study of job classifications and compensation, Agenda Bill 14-026.
Good evening, Council. I'm Kate Brown, Human Resources Manager, and I'm here tonight to talk to you about the citywide classification and compensation study, which we plan to launch shortly. We received a request for this project from the City Council last November as part of the discussion about some staffing changes that were included in the 2014 budget. We issued a request for proposals in December and received the responses in January. It's our goal to use this information to help shape the upcoming budget discussions and labor negotiations. I want to quickly give an overview of this project. This is both an important exercise for us to undertake and also a pretty big project, so we're hiring a consultant and committing a significant amount of our own staff time. We'll start by asking every employee to complete a questionnaire to learn more about their work. The questionnaires will be provided to the consultant, who may also conduct follow-up meetings with individuals or employee groups. They'll use this information as they review and update our job descriptions. The consultant will then work to develop a group of comparable cities and will provide an analysis of each classification's compensation. The consultant will provide us with recommendations for what is known as total compensation. So this includes salary and also insurance, retirement, and paid leave benefits. They will recommend a compensation policy and will give us suggestions for rules and policies which will help us attract and retain qualified employees while ensuring we maintain internal equity. Their guidance and insight on trends will help position the organization for future development. It's recommended that this type of review is undertaken periodically, and some sources suggest annually. Our last review was in 2007, and since then, both the economy and the organization have changed significantly, so now is a great time to do this work. So we see the project falling into three phases, and this slide will give you a feel for what happens when. Again, our goal with this timeline is to have this information for the 2015-16 budget development and labor negotiations processes. Okay, I wanted to give you a little information on the response we received to our RFP. We received five proposals and heard presentations from three firms. Milliman was selected for this project based on their position as a nationwide source of compensation information, their extensive public sector experience, and their emphasis on a data-driven approach. The project cost is approximately $70,000. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have, and tonight we're asking you to consider approval of this agreement so that we can move ahead as quickly as possible.
Any questions? Mr. Binkowski?
For an organization our size, at a much larger organization, things tend to be very focused and the jobs tend to be much more discrete. And I think in our organization, we have many individuals that are working what some might classify as multiple kinds of positions. How are we going to sort that out? Is that part of this in order to look at positions as well?
Yes, I definitely think they will do a really thorough analysis, and we will have a lot of discussion about is the work that's being done grouped appropriately? Is that work necessarily being done by one person the right way to go? They may make recommendations or suggestions for making some changes.
Okay, thank you.
I noticed that the cost of this study apparently is not in the budget. So where does the money come from?
That is a very good question.
So that is something that we would bring a budget amendment to you, and I'm not exactly sure, probably the second quarter. Is that? Can't see fingers.
First quarter.
So, that's a typical or kind of a routine process we go through when we have items that come up throughout the year that are not included in the budget originally, that we would bring them back as adjustments that the council will approve each quarter.
And one other question. Thank you. And one other question. The target apparently was to bring this to council about 3 weeks ago initially. Is that delay going to impact getting this study done in time to have the results available for labor negotiation
and
budget discussion?
Yeah, we spoke with the consultant about that a little bit, and we feel like we're able to build that in pretty well. That we discussed it in terms of, is it going to delay it another 3 weeks? Hopefully not, maybe a week or so, but we feel pretty confident that we can still meet that timeline.
Thank you. Any other questions?
One additional one. And in our packet, there was a standard contract form that we have used. They came back with some substantial changes, and I assume that our attorney is happy with those changes. It appears that it's focused in a couple of specific areas in terms of keeping their work product private and some liability issues about the use of their work product.
I think happy would be an overstatement. I would say that I'm satisfied that given the nature of the work involved, that the changes are not significant enough to create a potential liability on the city's part. They are very particular about the way they want their liability clauses to read. They're very particular about how documents are released, more particular than a number of other consultants. But again, under the circumstances of this being a compensation study, I don't see those as significant issues. Were this a different scope of work, I might.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Is there a motion? Mr. Bukowski?
I move the City Council authorize the City Manager to enter into a professional service agreement with Milliman Inc. Substantially in the form as attached to this agenda bill.
No second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Abstaining.
One abstention, and the motion passes. Item C, unfinished business, proclaiming Monday, February 24 as Rotary Club of Bainbridge Island Day, Agenda Bill 14-024. Mr. Bunkowski, do you care to read the proposed proclamation?
I can certainly do that.
Into the record.
And I can also, if with the approval of the council, I'd like to talk a little bit about the history of why.
Please.
Okay. This is for the consideration of a proclamation declaring Monday, February 14th, 2014, as Rotary Club of Bainbridge Island Day. The history is that the club held its first meeting in the 1st of July 1947 in Linwood Center, and they were chartered on October 8th of 1947 and sponsored by Seattle No. 4 Rotary Club. One of the first club's big projects in 1951 and 54 was to operate a former Navy recreation center as a community bowling alley. It was closed when a privately run bowling alley opened, since the club didn't want to compete with a local business. I don't know who remembers there were bowling alleys on our island. I certainly don't.
You see the bowling alley as countertop in various restaurants.
All right.
That old wood floor.
Using the funds from the bowling alley, the club purchased land for ball field, now known as Rotary Field, which were turned over to a local park district when it was established in 1965. Rotary has made major contributions to the park projects over the years. In addition to Rotary Field, the club has contributed to construction improvement to two community swimming pools, which are both named for past Rotary presidents. Recent contributions have included funds for a skate park and child playground called Kids Up. The club worked with the state to build a boat ramp at Fort Ward State Park in 1970 and a playground at Fay Bainbridge in the 80s. The club was an early participant in fighting polio and sponsored immunization clinics for local school children in the 50s, and more recently, members have also contributed to Rotary International's effort to end worldwide polio. Since 1960, the club has held their annual Rotary auction and rummage sale. The first year proceeds were $5,800 and went to constructing for the construction of the public library. Since then, the club has raised more than $4 million for a wide range of community projects. In addition to raising funds, the event is a major recycling project with tons of merchandise filling new homes every year. The club also receives major support from the Bainbridge Island community. Carloads of donations are dropped off by local residents, and several thousand people return the following Saturday to buy back the treasures. Bainbridge Island Public Library has been built and expanded entirely by donations without any tax dollars. The club was the largest single contributor to construction in 1960 to furnish the new building in 61, to expand that, double the library size in the 70s, and to double the size again in the 90s. Rotarians have also been active in the library's board and fundraising committees and involved in providing in-kind contributions towards construction projects. The club has awarded college and vocational scholarships since the 50s. In recent years, keeping Rotary's Service Above Self model, they have recognized local students who have performed outstanding community service and now provide more than $25,000 in scholarships each year. The club sponsors for the foreign exchange program at Bainbridge High School, both inbound and outbound students every year since 1960. The club helped build an office and storage facility for Helpline House. Rotary has also worked with the city government to rebuild Bainbridge Commons, now called Waterfront Park Community Center. Past 5 years, the club has substantially increased their involvement in international projects. Several club members have traveled to Uganda, spearheading the development of water literacy and health projects there. The club has also been involved in projects in Mexico, Argentina, and Central America. Another priority in recent years has been hands-on projects within the community. Recent efforts have included park maintenance, children's traffic safety, including downtown trick-or-treating, cemetery restoration, sidewalk improvements at the Bainbridge Island Special Needs Foundation. And on March 1, 2013, hundreds of Rotarian and Bainbridge Island community members joined to celebrate the culmination of a 2-year intensive project called the Waypoint Project. A public eyesore on the corner of Winslow Way and State Highway 305 has been reborn as a warm and welcoming gateway at Orart Rhineland. And as a result of that, the city has drafted a proclamation in honor of the Rotary Club of Bainbridge Island, whereas on Monday, February 24th, 2014, Rotary International will celebrate its 109th anniversary, and the Rotary Club of Bainbridge Island will celebrate its 67th year as a service club organized in Bainbridge Island area as it works to create a spirit of service above self for the benefit of our community. And whereas the Rotary Club of Bainbridge Island has initiated and or contributed to numerous local projects and events such as the Waypoint, Rotary Field, Bainbridge Public Library, the Waterfront Park Community Center, Boys and Girls Club, among others. And whereas the Rotary Club of Bainbridge Island has worked with Rotary clubs across the world to eradicate polio, construct numerous clean water wells in Uganda, provided microfinancing opportunities for Guatemalan women, funded vocational community service and leadership scholarships for our local youth, and sponsored Rotary youth exchange programs to help train the leaders of tomorrow to be active builders of a more peaceful world. Now, therefore, I, Ann Blair, Mayor in the City of Bainbridge Island, Kitsap County, do hereby proclaim Monday, February 24, 2014, as Rotary Club of Bainbridge Island Day in the City of Bainbridge Island, and extend the gratitude and congratulations on behalf of the City of Bainbridge Island to the Rotary Club for contributing to the betterment of the Bainbridge Island community for 67 years.
Is there a motion? Is there a motion to approve the proclamation?
I move that the City Council authorize the Mayor to sign the proclamation declaring Monday, February 24, 2014, as Rotary Club of Bainbridge Island Day.
Second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item D. Moved from the consent agenda is the minutes of the study session of January 15, and since I want to make a motion to amend these minutes, I'll pass the chair to Councilmember Blossom, who is just delighted to accept. So the specific change that I suggest we make has to do with council assignments. Item 8, subparagraph C, ad hoc committees, the last committee where we have Waterfront Park, C. Bunkowski, and Ann Blair. and Roger Townsend. When, first of all, Mr. Townsend was not present at that meeting, and as the discussion that have passed copies around to council reflects, his name was not taken in vain. So,
at least as to this particular committee.
And the discussion of the Waterfront Park Ad Hoc Committee started out as a proposal that we establish an ad hoc committee consisting of three council members and some representatives of Sustainable Bainbridge. Councilmember Blossom rightly questioned whether or not Sustainable Bainbridge was the right membership, and we agreed that Mr. Bonkowski and Ms. Blair would draft the mission statement or the purpose or whatever for this committee, and then we would revisit the membership after we knew what the committee was going to do. And so my motion is that we strike Roger Townsend from the membership and that we add an asterisk on that item, and the asterisk should read, committee to draft purpose and scope of work, after which additional committee members will be considered.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
I have one other discussion, which is, I also noticed there's a typo right above it where it says Ann Blair Sarah under city manager review. But that's...
Oh, great.
So we either omitted Sarah...
So either you or Sarah got taken in vain on that. I wasn't there, so I can't speak to that.
Just a typo, right. Well, but the friendly amendment that makes that change...
That we add Blossom to the minutes there.
All right.
Or remove
Sarah.
I think
just strike Sarah. Because yeah. I'm before it also.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay, friendly.
Yes.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you so much. Skillfully done. Next item is the consent agenda, and I'd simply point out that on the agenda bill, in the section description summary action item, it's consideration of consent agenda items A through, instead of and, items A through H, and we struck item C. So it's a consideration of consent agenda items A through H, less item C. Item A, accounts payable, voucher, and payroll approval. Item B, special regular business meeting minutes, January 8, 2014. Item D, regular special business meeting minutes, January 22, 2014. Item E, police vehicle procurement. Item F, road rating services contract award. Item G, ordinance number 2014-10, relating to regular meetings of the City Council and amending Bainbridge Island Municipal Code section 2.04.010, and item H, resolution number 2014-04, approving a settlement of the remaining issues on the coalition appeal of the 2013-18 National Pollution Discharge Elimination System, the NPDES permit.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The consent agenda is approved. Are there any committee reports? We're going to be embarrassingly early.
Mm-hmm.
Talks.
Hearing no committee reports, can we look at the upcoming council meeting agendas? Any comments on the proposed agenda for the next study session, February 19th?
I do have a question about the Washington City's Insurance Authority. Is all of that presentation appropriate and the comments in a public meeting and not in any of it in executive session?
Where are we?
Yeah, where are you?
The presentation.
Number one. Oh, February 19th, very first thing. Presentation? Isn't that what we were talking about?
Yeah, I skipped over it.
I'm sorry, that's okay.
The material they'll be presenting does not qualify for executive session.
Okay. And there is not likely to be any discussion that would be appropriate for executive session. Only reason I'm asking is because in the past we've had them in on specific topics having to do with liability, and we had some discussion in executive session. And those topics, are any of those topics going to be covered? You understand what I mean?
Yeah. If there are questions that come up during that discussion that would be appropriate in an executive session, we'll make sure to point that out.
Okay. And not answer them.
Right. But
okay. Great.
They're not here to provide you with legal counsel. So they're here as the insurance authority. So it's not the attorneys that would represent the city on a specific case.
Okay. Any comments or questions on items going forward?
There was discussion about the waterfront park. Is there anything on the 19th associated with the waterfront park? I don't see it. Okay.
On the 26th there is?
On the 26th. Then we're design review board is prior to that. Is that maybe that's what I was thinking
that's
about?
Right. I think that's right.
Yeah. The design review board is on the 24th, I believe.
Okay. Yep. So it's on the 26th. Thank you.
Nothing further at this time? Anything for the good of the order? Okay.
Okay. And I'll ask Morgan to actually come up. There was a question submitted today regarding one of the invoices related to the Kitsap Conservation District. And we've done some research on that, and I thought it'd be a good time to. I was anticipating that item being pulled from the consent agenda, but it's really information that we can provide now. So if you want to do that, Morgan?
Sure. So I think if you haven't had a chance to review the question, it had to do with our intention to allocate the city's fees that we pay to the Kitsap Conservation District for their annual work that they do with us. Almost a year ago this time, it was in March, we talked with you about the fact that we had done a legal review, and we did think that there was ample justification for using stormwater to support those activities. But we could also see when you really drilled down into the work that they were doing that it's not the case that 100% of those things were attached to stormwater. There were some aspect of the work that they did that was more appropriately general government. So at that point, looking at using the 2012 final report, which we had at that time, to kind of review and see exactly what allocation we would recommend. We decided that a 25-75 split, with 25% being general fund and 75% being stormwater, was the right reflection of 2012's activities. So we brought forward a budget adjustment for 2013 and changed the 2013 2013, yes, 2013 and 2014 ultimately budgets to reflect 25% of those costs would go to general government and 75% would go to stormwater. And just as an order of magnitude, it's just over $40,000 a year. So then the intent after that budget adjustment was approved in May was that each of the quarterly invoices that came forward would be allocated according to that split, and that once a year we'd do a true-up and say, was that really right, since we were using a historical allocation? Did this year look like what we expected, or should we rebalance? And so that process is absolutely part of our year-end close now, but where the implementation didn't go exactly as was communicated to council is that the purchase order is still showing as attached 100% to stormwater because it's a historic purchase order that was already in place. So we didn't follow all the way through on that. I want to make sure you understand that we would have caught it when we did the year-end adjustment because we would have gone back and forced through that 25-75% split. But it is absolutely true that we intended to be doing that as we went through the year with these other four payments, and we haven't been doing that. In the course of talking through this with finance, because whenever we come across one of these things, one of the first things we do is, okay, what went wrong so that we can make sure in other circumstances that communication breakdown doesn't happen. One of the things that came out was that in some ways this wasn't an error on finance's part because they would prefer to do it this way to begin with, in the sense that mechanically they don't want to have an allocation that they set one time. It's a very manual process, and then do it again at the end of the year because it's a very small amount of money. So what they would like to do, without being agnostic about what fund it goes to, is charge it to one fund, and then when you do the year-end close, provide the allocation at that time. So what we would recommend is that the approach be that every year these charges be 100% charged to general fund, just because we need to pick one of the two funds to have them hit throughout the year, and then in our year-end close is where we'll do the allocation, and we can do it at that point based on the actual activities of the prior year. So our expectation, Public Works has done an initial cut at 2013. They validated that they still think 75-25 is the right split for 13. It certainly was the right split for 2012. So that's our suggestion, just to make you aware that administratively what we'd like to do is have it go to one fund within the year, and then as part of the closeout for that year's process, do the allocation then. So it's a little less than perfect in the sense that we still expect the majority of the cost to go to stormwater. So there is an argument for hitting stormwater 100% throughout the year and then backing out the general fund charge. But I think given the intent of this allocation, it's probably the right answer to start out by placing it as a general fund expense and then assessing stormwater at the end of the year. But I'd be happy to answer any other questions about that.
Ms. Bunkowski.
Are there other that's a great answer, by the way. I think it's perfect, and I certainly would support putting in the general fund and going and doing a one-time year-end adjustment. Are there other funds that fall in that same category, or other projects that fall in that same category? And if there are, it would be nice to have that as a published list. Here are the ones that is done on an annual allocation mm-hmm. basis rather than our normal allocation. So. Not asking for one now, but I mean,
I understand.
I suspect there are other things that we do that mm-hmm. fall in that same general category and be helpful, I think, for the public to understand which ones those are.
Well, I'll let Ellen answer so that I don't get sideways with what's actually going on in finance. My impression is that one of the reasons why this is elevated and why we want to make sure we do it correctly is it's actually pretty rare for us to do it this way. It's a very manual, triggered by our awareness that we want to have this assessment. Most of the city expense items that are handled in this way are covered by our cost allocation process, which is a very automated annual process that they update through that. So, did you want? Oh, there you are. Sorry. And there's more you want to say about that?
I can't think of any other ILA agreements that would fit into that same category. Most of our agreements with outside agencies are entirely supported mostly by the general fund for community services and those kinds of things, and that's
I think,
not what you're thinking of.
I think we have a number of contracts that we let that have fallen into that category, and we know we're going to be letting contracts
that would be shared among several funds.
Exactly. And that's so, and we know that those contracts are upcoming, and it would just be helpful to make sure that is that information is captured.
Sure. We can work on that.
Thank you.
Any other questions on the KCD expenses? Okay. Thanks.
Anything else for the good of the order? Having heard nothing else, the meeting is adjourned.